I'm going to call a meeting to order, please. Good afternoon. I'm pleased to call this meeting of the Buffalo State College Council to order. The first order of business today will be to approve the minutes of the March 15th, 2011 meeting. If I could have a motion to approve the minutes, please.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you, Jim. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. I'll also do the chair report for John Hoskins. Thank you for joining us all today. As you may recall, at our last meeting, we introduced Josh Brown, who's with us today as the new student elected representative of the College Council. And today, we want to thank Josh officially for his service to the council, as he will be graduated in May. Date?
May 14th.
Thank you, Josh, at 10 o'clock in Media Productions. Congratulations. And as a keepsake of your tenure on the council, we've attached a plate on your nameplate, which documents your service to the council. And we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. And thank you again for your service, Josh.
Well, thank you. It was an honor to serve.
Thank you. Now I'd like to call on President Podolevsky to deliver his report.
Thank you very much, Bill. I must say that this last few weeks has been, I've had some wonderful opportunities now that I've been here 8 or 9 months and learned something about Buffalo and Buffalo State. I've had some wonderful opportunities to actually go out and speak, and this time actually have an opinion rather than just listen. And I've had four just in the recent past that I thought of I might mention to you, and that is I did the distinguished lecture at the Buffalo Club, and we had, I was told, 90 attending, and it would, I felt it went very well. I've gotten some good feedback. Did a similar presentation at the 20th Century Club, which was very, very interesting, to say the least. Great questions, great interactions at both. I did a Rotary International over lunch and the Downtown Public Library. Three very different venues. Mm-hmm. But it was it's enjoyable, and I'm really getting a sense of what I want to say about the college, and that's been great. The important thing to update you also is about the budget. You have a report in your folders about the budget. We have, as we've probably communicated by email, taken a short-term, long-term strategy where we look for opportunities in this short-term and try to be more strategic in the long-term. And we have handled the first $6.4 million cut that we had to deal with through a combination of reductions in personnel, other than personnel services, and a projected revenue increases by changing how we handle summer and intersession. We are presently thinking through and working on the more strategic realignments to make sure those budget cuts and those personnel decisions are mitigated in the best way we can. In other words, we use the early retirement program to take cuts where we had them without trying to lay off individuals. And we did reduce by 56 positions at the institution, which is a serious reduction. We are looking at present at another reduction for next year. How that actually will affect us is depending on two things. First is how SUNY distributes the reduction, and they've given us four different scenarios not to choose from, but to be aware of, so that when they do it to us, we know it could have been better or worse. And they're in your book. And the second part of that is the legislative process still goes forward. And as you know, there is a potential for a tuition increase, and there is legislation on that. In particular, Assemblymember Crystal People-Stokes has introduced a bill for a tuition policy that would benefit SUNY, and I believe its students. A similar bill is introduced by Senator Seward, and the copies of those bills are in your materials. Both of them allow for an increase of up to 5.5% per year over 5 years, and that is the number that the student assembly had recommended as supporting, so that SUNY went along with the student assembly. There are materials on that in your packet. There are four scenarios, and as I said, and one of the interesting things about the budget cut and the four scenarios is the first scenario, if you'll notice, is based on our proportion of the state tax dollars and its proportional allocation of a cut. All the other three scenarios do two things. They include a cut because of the hospitals, and they will take from all the other campuses to backfill the cuts to the hospitals. And they look at the entire budgets of the institution, which is both the tuition and the state tax support, and they cut us proportion to our whole budget. And because we earn more tuition than some of the institutions, we suffer a higher cut. In other words, we suffer a higher cut because we earn more money on our own. Mm-hmm. I'm still asking for somebody to explain why this makes sense and haven't yet gotten one, mm-hmm. but that's the way SUNY has operated in the last 3 years. And as you can imagine, some of the presidents are not happy about that. We'll be talking to the system about it. So those are the four scenarios you have. Depending upon how SUNY chooses and what happens in the legislature, until those two things happen, we won't really know what we're looking at for next year. We have a lot of end-of-the-year events coming up, and you are invited to any and all. These celebrate the accomplishments of our faculty, our students, our staff. We'd like to invite you to come to them. If you would like to do so, please let Bonnie or Melissa know. Again, we'd love to have you there. Finally, I'd like to ask Dean Kevin Raley, oh, by the way, before I do that, let me ask if you had any questions about any of those things that I just mentioned.
Sure. I recall at our last meeting we passed a resolution encouraging our legislative body to think about a rational tuition program, and evidently at least two of them are paying attention.
Yes, absolutely, and I really do appreciate that because it has made a difference. And there are two more, I believe, of our local legislators, Sam Hoyt and, is Bill here? He walked in, he must have walked out. There's a second one who agreed to co-sponsor, and I and other presidents will be out looking for additional co-sponsors for that legislation. And I've got several visits with key legislators in New York City or Albany in the next few weeks to add my personal point of view to that. Well, but that was a great help.
Once you're able to make those rounds, we'll get our little government affairs committee together, mm-hmm. and see how we can work with Paul and figure out a plan to help support your efforts.
Absolutely. That's exactly on our agenda.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that. Sure. Until the last few days, really, maybe a week is when maybe less Crystal Peoples put that bill in. So until then, we really weren't knowing which way we're going to go, but now we can do that. Great. Now, finally, Kevin, Dean Kevin Raley, really, to introduce some students who have been recognized for their academic achievements. And after these, Vice President Payne will introduce the President's Medal and Chancellor's Award winners. And I'm so glad that all of the award winners could join with us today. Kevin, could you do that?
Well, I want to thank the council for letting me talk a little bit about the graduate school again, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you about our students. You see here three posters. These posters and the students behind them traveled with me to Albany recently. The SUNY Faculty Senate had the first a symposium of graduate student research this year, and all of the SUNY campuses were invited to choose a student work to showcase. And it was during, obviously, when the legislature was in session. The idea was that SUNY administration folks and that people from the legislature would come down and mingle with the students. Four students traveled with me. Chris Janik from Biology in Great Lakes, Morris Suttles from Criminal Justice, and Amy Burkett and Claire Mavalli from Exceptional Education. And I'll introduce two of them to you in a minute, but I just want to say that these four students were just incredible ambassadors for Buffalo State College. We had a lovely dinner together, but the real heart of the next day, they stood for, 2 hours talking to all the SUNY folks who came and asked them questions about their research. A couple of legislators did come down and talk to them, in particular George Maziarz, who was from Lockport, where a couple of the students worked. They took a picture. It was in one of the local papers. So what was really nice is they were very able to explain in great detail their research, their experiences here at Buffalo State. So they did a wonderful job of representing the college. The two that are with us today are Morris Suttles from Criminal Justice. He's going to talk a little bit about his research and his experiences in the Criminal Justice Department. And then Amy Burkett from Ex-Ed will come up and talk about her experience. So, thanks. Morris?
Thank you, Dean Raley. My name is Morris Suttles, and as Dean Raley said, my project is the death penalty as applied to corporate crime. And I promise you, none of these wires are attached to your chairs, so you're safe. What prompted this project was my own interest to find out why corporate criminals don't receive harsher sanctions. And in researching the literature, I found out that the public is requiring harsher sanctions for corporate criminals. Further research revealed that some authors by the name of Univer, Benson, and Cullen developed what's called the switch hypothesis, where some people who would call for harsher sanctions for corporate criminals would not necessarily call for harsher sanctions for street-level criminals, and vice versa. And they're usually associated with political views. So I replicated their research, only I used the death penalty as a harsher sanction. There were very few significant results, but it was enough to attract future researchers. And while I was at the conference in Toronto, the Academies of Criminal Justice Sciences conference, I was approached by a professor from Tennessee, and she wanted to work with me to replicate this study there, and she also wanted to work with me further to replicate this study nationally. So there could be some future implications for criminal justice policy, namely, there may be some harsher sanctions being called for corporate criminals, especially when those corporate criminals knowingly act. They act with callous disregard for life. And this is not just about accidents. You know, when people knowingly act and they make decisions and they even admit to that, and we even know now after the fact that Lee Iacocca stated safety doesn't sell when it came to the Ford Pinto, this statement alone implies quite a bit of culpability, not just innocent accidents. My future research is on a young woman I met who claims to be owned property of the outlaw bikers gang, similar to the Hells Angels. There's several 1%er bike gangs. And what I'd like to do is do her life history. She's agreed to talk with me and tell me her life history about her life as an owned woman in this biker gang. This is similar to earlier research on life histories. Clifford Shaw from, I think, University of Chicago did some early 20th century life history research on a juvenile delinquent. He would call himself a jack roller. It was just a term where they rolled people for their money, mugging them, you could call it. Another one was Edwin Sutherland, who did a study on a professional thief, a professional pickpocket, and he tells these life histories, and these books are pinnacles of sociological research. And that's kind of what my goal is to break further ground, just like I did with this topic, and tell the life history of an owned woman and then use that as a textbook in the criminal justice field or criminology or even sociology so we can broaden some research there. My experiences here at Buff State, I'm very thankful for all the faculty, and a couple of faculty members I can point out in particular, Dr. Jeffrey Skoll and Dr. Liz Schatzky, both instrumental in my research, and I'm very thankful for them and how they've guided me and pointed me in the right direction. And I also like to thank Dr. Raley and his staff. They've been very helpful for me as well. And before I chose Buff State, I checked with one other SUNY school for a master's program, and it was one of the flagships, I think, as we know them, right? As we call them, one of the flagships, and I was not impressed. I was impressed with this program, so we can all pat ourselves on the back there. Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amy Burkett. My research partner Claire could not be here today, but we are both special education teachers that work with students with significant disabilities that exhibit severe challenging behaviors, such as aggression, self-injurious behavior, and severe property destruction. Both Claire and I have observed that a lot of the students that we work with exhibit these behaviors during transition times. Whether they engage in these behaviors to escape the transition or gain access to a highly preferred activity. The function of that behavior we actually didn't assess, but what we did implement was a picture schedule paired with differential reinforcement and extinction to increase the successful transitions across activities within the classroom. So a lot of times in the classroom, you see transition between morning circle and maybe art group, reading group, and other various activities. And our students were engaging in aggression, self-injurious behavior, flopping to the ground, non-compliance, different types of tantruming behavior. So we selected three participants and implemented the treatment in a single subject design. We used a multiple baseline design across participants. That type of single subject design shows showing very good experimental control. I encourage you to come up and see the graph. As you can see across the three participants, they were not very successful during the transition, and we implemented with the first participant as we continued to take baseline data with the other two participants. And once the baseline data was stable, then we implemented our treatment. We used a picture schedule that consisted of pictures from the picture exchange communication system, which a lot of our students are non-vocal, but they do have verbal behavior. They just don't have the vocal ability like we have. So they will use the picture exchange communication system to communicate. So we took that and made a picture schedule. Then we would show it to our students. For example, okay, Abby, art is finished. It's time to go to morning circle. And we would show her the picture schedule, ask her which item she would like to work for, such a highly preferred edible. And it, when she completed the transition free of target behavior, then she would gain access to that highly preferred edible, and we would pair it with a lot of verbal praise. So we would eventually fade out the edible and continue with the verbal praise. All three participants showed extreme success. As you can see, they were engaging in very low rates of successful transition, and then when we implemented our treatment, everything increased, which was wonderful, including the last participant that was transitioning at 100% until the very end when his glasses and his Dynavox broke. We worked with Dr. Gleckel from the Ex-Ed department, and Claire and I also, in addition to presenting this in the LOB, also presented it in Saratoga at the New York State Applied Behavior Analysis Conference, and we were approached by someone who was interested in publishing our research, so that is very exciting. We're hoping to pursue that, and many thanks to Dr. Riley also.
Well, thank you, Mr. President and Mr. Chairman, for giving me an opportunity to introduce five of our excellent undergraduate students, and I should say four undergraduate and one additional graduate student. On May 5th, I was privileged to accompany five of our students to the Chancellor's Ceremony introducing winners of this year's Chancellor's Award for Student Excellence. As many of you will recall, the Chancellor's Award for Student Excellence was created to recognize students who have best demonstrated and have been recognized for the integration of academic excellence with accomplishments in the areas of leadership, athletics, community service, creative and performing arts, or career achievement. Each campus president appoints a committee that makes recommendations. They go to the chancellor, who has a second review. And finally, this year, 249 students from 63 campuses throughout the State University of New York were recognized with the Chancellor's Award. Our awardees this year included Christopher R. Guidarali. Christopher Guidarali earned a Bachelor of Science in Education degree with a major in Exceptional Education and a concentration in English, with an overall GPA of 3.68 and 4-point GPA in his major. Unfortunately, Christopher is in New York City doing his student teaching, and he could not join us today. Several of our other awardees are with us today, and so I would like to ask them to come forward as I read their names. The first is Catherine S. Bowden. Catherine, could you join me? While Catherine is coming forward, Catherine was recognized by our chancellor for having completed the requirements for the Bachelor of Science degree with a major in applied mathematics and a minor in athletics coaching. While at Buffalo State, Catherine has maintained a perfect 4.0 GPA. I always say that gives... While playing on the women's soccer team for 3 years, she helped lead that team to its most successful 3-year win-loss record in the history of the women's soccer program. She was named a 3-time member of the State University of New York Athletic Conference All-Academic Team and was a 2-time member of the SUNYAC Commissioners List. She's also been selected for COSIDA ESPN Academic All-District Team and was recently named to Who's Who among students in American universities and colleges. She took advantage of our National Student Exchange Program by attending Texas State University San Marcos and has participated in several service activities here while a student. The mathematics department considers her to be one of its best students, and certainly our soccer coach considers her to be one of the best players in the history of our soccer team. So please join me in recognizing Catherine Bowden. Ratoy Rabe, Ratoy, please join me. Ratoy Rabe will be earning a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology and a minor in Psychology while maintaining a GPA of 3.9 in his major. So I think that deserves a round of applause. During his first year, Ratoy earned the Outstanding First Year Student Award for Scholarly or Creative Achievement at Buffalo State, and at the end of his freshman year, he traveled to Dublin to present at the 21st International Conference on the First Year Experience. And some of you may remember celebrating that trip here at the council meeting. He was accepted to the Ross B. Kenzie Scholars Program. He's also been a member of our Ronald E. McNair Post-Baccalaureate Achievement Program, which recognizes potential for the doctoral degree and provides research opportunities for students who plan to go on to get the doctorate, while also participating in the Dr. Anna P. Burrell Diversity Scholars Program funded by SUNY. He also was recently named to Who's Who among students in American colleges and universities. His presentations as a McNair Scholar include a presentation on the role of ADHD symptomatology, parenting, and peer functioning in predicting the social adjustment of college students, And in March of 2009, he presented at the Ethnographic Dream Worlds Conference here at Buffalo State on geometry and fetishization of dream worlds. I want to know more about that. He's been of service to both the college and the community, tutoring in the Education Opportunity Program and volunteering at the Assarisi Matters Youth Center. In addition to receiving the Chancellor's Award in April, Watoi will also receive one of two undergraduate President's Medals at commencement this May. Congratulations. The recipient of the other undergraduate President's Medal could not be with us today. Stephanie Berberick was with us in Albany to receive the Chancellor's Award. Stephanie is an outstanding graduate in communication studies, an impressive array of articles and periodicals, and she will be recognized as a member of Who's Who Among Students in American Universities and College on Thursday. So she will be our second Chancellor's Award winner, recognized as an undergraduate President's Medal winner at commencement. Finally, let me ask Justin Wojak to join us. Justin will be graduating with a master's degree in student personnel administration with an overall GPA of 4.0, another 4.0. His academic career was marked by outstanding effort and success in academic and volunteer pursuits, as well as remarkable leadership skills. He's been a leading member of our Graduate Association of Student Personnel Administration, serving first as chair of the Advertising and Technology Committees, and finally being elected this year as president of GASPA, the Graduate Student Association for SPA. He's also recently been named to Who's Who Among Students in American Universities and Colleges. He's been a graduate assistant in the Campbell Student Union with the Orientation and New Student Programs Office and with the Volunteer and Service Learning Center. He has been supportive of our first-year students, our transfer students. He's also been involved with our Health Promotions Office, the Residence Hall Judicial Board, and has served in the community with Journeys in Refugee Services and with the Olmsted Parks Conservancy. He has conducted research comparing student activism from different eras and has presented on using technology to understand the students of yesterday and today at our 12th annual Student Research and Creativity Celebration. I also believe that you were the homecoming king.
I was the third runner-up.
Who's coming?
Well, he was almost homecoming
king. That's right.
That's great.
And again, he will be presented with the Graduate President's Medal at our commencement this May. So congratulations, Justin. Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
Do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I would. On behalf of the council, I'd like to offer our congratulations to all the students that were presenting here today. Your accomplishments are obviously outstanding, well-rounded, and it's terrific to be presented with your credentials, and it makes us proud to be members of the Buffalo State College community to see you shine at your finest hour. So congratulations from all of us. It's great. Do you have any more announcements?
Well, I just one.
Okay.
I want to let you know or remind you that on May 17th, the College Council is invited to a meeting with Dr. Barbara Loftus. She's Buffalo State's liaison for the Middle States Accreditation Review. And she'll meet with the council at 3:30 p.m. on the 17th, immediately preceding the college council meeting of that day, and you'll get a packet in the mail to make you aware of all the details. That's my only announcement.
Okay. Well, if there's no other business to appear in front of the council today, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second. Thank you, Jim. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all very much. And again,
thank
congratulations
you,
to all the students. Thank you.
Thanks.